Hey, Joe, thanks for your chair.
I'd like to call a meeting to order. Representative Gunther, would you like to present your bill? House File 2305. And while we're waiting, do we have a form? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to move House File 2305. This is a barber bill. It includes housekeeping measures for the barbers, a collaborative effort between the board and the barbers, and updating regulations and protecting issues. So that's the sum and total of that. And to get into the bill, I have a testifier here that knows everything.
Okay. Welcome. If you could introduce yourself. And
Madam Chair, my name is Thora Fisco, and I'm the Executive Secretary to the Minnesota Board of Barber Examiners, and I apologize for my voice that's been in and out recently.
When am I going to amend it? Okay. Madam Chairman, I have an amendment, the A1 amendment. I would like, and this bill is supposed to be referred to civil law.
Thank you.
And my amendment is moves the amendment to House File 2305 as follows. On page 8, line 29, delete 3,117,000 and insert 289,000.
Thank you. Chair Gunther moves the A1 amendment. All those is there any discussion? Oh. Okay, I'd like to first call the meeting to order because we do have a quorum now. Okay. So, all those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment passes.
Thank you.
Okay. You can proceed, Ms. Fisco.
Well, I would just like to say I think the bill summary summarizes the bill very well, and rather than walk through that, I just would like to indicate that the Barber Board is very much in support of this bill. It represents a collaborative effort where several barbers worked together with members of the board to look at the language, and so the board is fully in support, as well as much of many of the members of the profession.
Thank you. Representative Mallory.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gunther, I'm not quite sure what this is doing, but am I going to get... I remember when you did something with the barber board before, and other than the stadium, I think I got more angry calls than any bill I've had here.
Madam Speaker, Representative Mallory, I remember the guy that lived by the, had a shop by the cemetery in Penn Avenue. I did call him up 2 times. I think I finally got him to kind of cool down a little bit. If you have anybody else that's really hostile, this should make it better. It has the barbers more in support. In fact, completely in support. It separates further the barbers from the cosmetologists. And I think you shouldn't get any calls, but I'd love to hear it if you do.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anybody else who would like to speak in support or in opposition to the bill? If not, did you want to renew your motion?
Madam Chairman, I renew my motion to have House File 2305 be referred to civil law.
As amended?
As amended.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Bill passes. Okay, next, Representative Gunther, House File 1721.
Madam Chairman, I move House File... Where is it? Where's the number of the house? 1721. And where is that going, Dan? To Ways and Means?
Ways and
to pass and be referred to Ways and Means. And the redevelopment account is a very important account. It's used by economic developers throughout the state. And in the metro area, for example, it's one of the only ways we can get new lands to be be able to sustain light in industries and grow the tax base. Other than that, we have Meredith Udoy back. Good to see you again. Here to testify. She also knows an awful lot about this subject.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Meredith Udoybach, and I'm the director of the Office of Brownfields and Redevelopment at Deed, and I also have Kristen Lukes with me, who's the assistant director of the Office of Brownfields and Redevelopment at Deed. I'll give you a brief overview of what this amendment does, and then Kristen and I am more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. This bill basically proposes to add on to the existing redevelopment grant program an option for us to give out loans in addition to the grants that are already authorized under the statute. To set in context why we're looking to have a loan ability, I'll give you a little background on what the grant program does. It was created in 2002, and it's a 50% grant to public entities to acquire demolished buildings, put in public infrastructure, stabilize unstable soil, do asbestos abatement so that redevelopment can occur on sites that are already developed. The purpose is to provide these costs to level the playing field, as Representative Gunther said, between already developed sites and the green fields. The statute sets priorities, and it such things as job creation, tax base increase, things that you would have if you had a development plan in place. The grant is very competitive. We've always been oversubscribed since the inception of the program. So for communities that have old abandoned facilities, grain elevators, old manufacturing facilities that are sitting, that need to come down because they're causing health threats, public threats, crime threats, but they don't have a development plan, they don't rank high enough to get a grant through this program. Because of that, we're asking to have a loan component put onto the redevelopment program that we're calling the Demolition Loan Program. And again, it would provide, if you don't have a developer in hand, it would provide the opportunity for a local unit of government to get a loan to take the building down. The interest rate would be less than 2%. It would be a 15-year loan. You wouldn't have to make any payments until year three. At the point that a development might occur on these sites, we would have the ability to reduce the amount owed on the loan by 50%, which thus makes it like getting a redevelopment grant. So it's simply an opportunity for communities across the state that have old facilities that need to come down, prepare them for development, but at the current time don't have a development in hand.
Great. Did you want to testify too, or just answer questions?
Just answer questions.
Okay, great.
Madam Chairman, with that three-year deal, and if they have a development in there getting that 50% off, I really think that this is going to, people are going to look for places to redevelop real fast. And I think this is going to be greatly oversubscribed. And I think we have an amendment that we'd like to put in the bill before it goes any farther. And that's the A120554 amendment. And on page 2, line 18, delete the word shall and insert the word may.
Could you repeat that last part?
Delete on page 2, line 18, delete the word shall and insert the word may.
Members of the committee, I can address the reason for that amendment. This section is amending subdivision 4, which talks about the grant repayment, which says that basically within 5 years of getting a grant that's already authorized under the statute, that if you don't have your development up, so at the time you get a grant, you tell us you have a development and something happens and it doesn't, that right now it says we have to have people repay 100% of the grant funds. We want to switch that to May to give us the ability. Sometimes people might have a redevelopment project that comes in at the time of a grant application, and for whatever reason that development might fall apart, and we want to be able to address those situations on a case-by-case basis. And we put this in here because we thought if we had a loan component, we didn't want people saying, well, let me just kind of fib on my grant so that I get a grant, because otherwise if I get a loan I have to pay it back, but right now I really don't have anybody, but I just won't tell Deed that. We figured this would eliminate, not that anyone would do that, but in the event someone's tempted, this would eliminate that from happening.
Super. Are there any questions on the A12-0554 amendment? Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And that's actually the section that I'm trying Section 3, I think it is, the grant repayment. Now, have you talked to the local economic development authorities around the state to kind of, I mean, that would seem to me if I'm a local EDA and I've come to you for a loan or grant, but I've got this sword hanging over my head, I got to get this, you know, up and running within 5 years. What's their take on this? Because that would seem to me that it would kind of say, you know what, I need to get this all cleaned up, but I'm not sure I'm going to have, you know, XYZ Corporation or tire store or whatever come in within the next 5 years. So,
Representative Mahoney, members of the committee, that's exactly why we want to change it from shall to may, because we understand that that does happen with these projects where the timelines might change a bit, and that is not going to force us at 5 years to say we need to take your money back. So we're trying to make it more flexible by putting in may instead of the current shall that's there.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you have guidelines for what constitute a may and a shall?
Representative Mahoney, members of the committee.
Because that's subjective at this particular point.
Madam Chairman, I think we have a staff person here. Anita, could you kind of describe the difference between shall and may in
Ms.
context? or Bill, either one.
Mr. Chair and members, may gives the commissioner, whoever, the discretion whether to do something or not, and shall is a hard and fast requirement.
Okay, thank you very much.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my only worry with this, Representative Gunther, and is that unless there's some guidelines for the commissioner to determine, you know, the may, it could be, you know, if you aggravate somebody, you could become a shall before relatively quickly. And just between here and the next stop, because it does have to go, I would hope that you and the department could come up with at least a couple things that could give some guidance to the commissioner.
Chair Gunther.
Examples?
No, I think there's some words in there, and I'll talk with you away from the committee here, between here and the next one.
Okay. So, the A12-0554 amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay? Okay. Amendment is on. There's also another amendment, a technical amendment that was at our desk, the A1 amendment.
A1 amendment.
I can just tell you what it is if you don't have it there. Page 2, line 34, delete B, B-double-E, and insert Ben, B-E-N. And line 3, page 3, line 5, delete he, and insert the. So it's just a strictly technical amendment. Are there any questions?
I didn't have that amendment, Madam Chairman. Amendment because there's typos. Okay.
That's right.
I move the A1 amendment.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The amendment is on. Did you have anything more you wanted to say on your bill?
Madam Chairman, I think this is a very necessary bill. It's stood the test of time. It's been used in primarily the redevelopment part. It's been used in the mature suburbs and the inner cities. And however, I can think of many applications. We've used it in greater Minnesota. I remember a theater that was torn down in Waseca because it was leaning, and it was a hazard to people. And we used this money to take care of that, and we made it a flat surface so it would be buildable in the future. So there's many things that we need. Local governments are very often strapped, and I think, like I said, this is one way, especially in the core urban cities, that we can make more taxable property. And it's very essential. Where I live, we got acres we can grow, and they don't have that in the metro area.
Thank you. Representative House.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I apologize. I got in here a little bit late.
So I guess just two quick questions. Are we creating a new account or a portion of an existing account? And is there an ask for dollars? Or is it you're creating a zero account?
Chair Gunther.
We have a bonding request that we hope that you will smile on very much. It's been used for quite a few years. It has been very successful. It has been oversubscribed, so it's deemed very necessary. And when they talk about things, let's say they were talking about the Arden Hills baseball park. This is the kind of money that could remediate that, although it's my understanding that the federal government has to do that. But there might be some that St. Paul would have to, or Ramsey County would have to use.
And then one final question for the chairman, Madam Chair. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Then is this going to capital investment?
No, this is going to Ways and Means.
First, it will eventually make. We already have bonding money for redevelopment.
Okay.
Okay. With that, Chair Gunther renews his motion to pass House File 1721 as amended and move to Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. So as Chair Gunther's returning up here, I think we will move the minutes from the last meeting. Would somebody like to do that? Anybody?
I looked at them really hard.
Okay. The minutes have been moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are adopted. Okay. Who's next? Bring it. We're doing this. Okay, Representative Brainerd, House File 1883. I will move your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Chair Gunther, Chair McFarland, and committee members, we appreciate your attention to our bill today. This is a capital investment request for $14.5 million to be matched by $14.5 million from our current local option sales tax authority. This project has a long history in our community. As we've worked toward a successful partnership with the state, we've honed the project to enhance both public-public and public-private partnerships and to carefully target the economic development potential of these efforts. As you hear from our business community today, you will see the fruits of these efforts in a model shared facilities proposal developed and supported with a strong coalition of business and community support. As our first testifier, I'd like to introduce Shirley Peeple, Board Chair of Greater Mankato's Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Thank you.
Welcome to our committee. Give your name for the record.
Shirley Peeple, and I, as Representative said, I am Chair of the Convention and Visitors Bureau in Greater Mankato. And today I thank you for the opportunity to be here, and I want to speak to the project and how it is going to be proposed. The event center will be, current arena will now be remodeled to be at the site for MSU hockey, both men's and women's, and it'll be year-round utilization of the arena, so it would have to be upgraded and remodeled with lockers and other amenities. This will have a domino effect on the arena because now MSU hockey teams will have pretty much year-round utilization of that area. Therefore, the domino effect is it displaces the convention, trade shows, and expos that we would normally have in that area. The proposal then, the domino effect, is to build onto the adjacent land that's next to the Civic Center where U.S. Bank is, which the city has purchased that property, and build an arena and conference rooms so that we will be able to keep going with our Convention and Visitor Bureau business. This will have a huge economic impact to our community. And one of the things I want to stress is the tools that the Convention and Visitor Bureau uses to produce a product for our clients is our facilities. And currently we are lacking in those facilities. So this build-out would immensely help us, and it would give this project gives us the tools to bring in clients from not only Minnesota, but we can be reaching out to South Dakota and to Iowa. Instead of those dollars crossing over, We want to bring them back to Minnesota, and Mankato is positioned to do that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Next we have...
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I would like to introduce Jonathan Zert. He's the CEO of Greater Mankato Growth, and he will speak to the economic impact that this will have on our community and the state.
Welcome to our committee. Give
Thank
your
you,
name
Mr.
for
Chair.
A record, Jonathan. I know who you are, but they don't.
I will. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jonathan Zert, and I serve as the president and CEO for Greater Mankato Growth, which in our community is our Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Organization. It also is the home for our Convention and Visitors Bureau and our Downtown Business Development Group that we call a City Center Partnership. I'm here today because my business community, the business community I represent, and our organization has about 800 businesses that are members of our organization, are very supportive of this project. I couldn't be here if I didn't have that kind of support from our business community. But when we asked our business community if this was a project that they found favor in, 85% of our respondents said that they did, which is fairly unusual to get that kind of a response in any survey, and particularly when it comes to the business community and things involving expenditures. But they're very supportive of this, and let me tell you why. First of all, they understand, as I think all of you do, or I hope you will, the kind of regional impact that the Mankato marketplace has, not just on the immediate area, but really the state. Recently, in the fall of last year, in the winter, December, the University of Minnesota conducted a trade center analysis on the trade centers throughout the state of Minnesota, and Mankato was vaulted into a level one regional trade center. It had over $900 million in economic trade activity that occurred from taxable types of trade activity. It put it in a level one category with St. Cloud, Rochester, and Duluth for the first time. That was important to us, but really interesting out of that data was that in all of those centers, they did a per capita analysis. And in terms of per capita spending, the spending in the greater Mankato marketplace was $17,000 per capita, while the other three regional centers was all at $10,000. All that data can mean is that the amount of dollars that are flowing into that marketplace, because the population base in Mankato, Rochester is about 120,000, Mankato just over 50,000. So with a per capita spending of $17,000 as compared to $10,000, what we know for certain is, as was previously mentioned, we know that there are dollars that come to our marketplace from counties in northern Iowa that would otherwise be spent perhaps in places like Ames or Cedar Rapids, and we know that they're making their way into Minnesota. Now, that's a good thing for us, and that's why our business is like this. In fact, on April 22nd, if you happen to make it to our community, you'll probably see a lot of those cars from places like Iowa and even South Dakota. It was just announced this morning that Elton John will be performing in Mankato at this arena on April 22nd. So we'll have a lot of that traffic that'll come from in from outside the state spending its money in Minnesota. That's good for us. That's why our businesses like it. In addition to that, our businesses really like partnerships. What they see is an opportunity where we have a need in our community, a higher education need. Our higher education facility, Minnesota State University Mankato, needs an arena that's suitable for men's and women's Division I hockey. Desperately needs that. It knows that at some point a bill has to come up to pay for that arena. And rather than have $30 or $40 million spent for an arena on the campus alone and then have a need for an event center or an arena like we've already got and have all of that money being spent, they're excited about seeing those projects be put together and have partnerships between higher education entities and cities, and then at the end of the day having a $30 million project that actually can encompass all of that. So they're very excited about that. They feel good about that kind of leverage of their dollars that they're spending as property tax and sales tax payers. And then finally, I would tell you that our business community is very supportive and utilizes facilities like this. In fact, one of our larger employers has an opportunity every year to have a business showcase or a show where they bring in vendors and sales and supply chain partners from around the globe. This is a German-owned company that brings in about 550, 600 people once a year for about 4 days. If it weren't for the presence of this facility, then that show would be held in places like the McCormick Center in Chicago or in facilities like Las Vegas offers or someplace else. It wouldn't even happen in Minnesota. But because that's here in Minnesota and only a couple of minutes away from their chief manufacturing facility, they can have that showcase opportunity, plus they can take those folks to their manufacturing facility And we as a state get the benefit of that kind of investment from that kind of company and the folks they're bringing in from throughout the global marketplace, not just a national marketplace. So our business community is incredibly supportive because they know that this project has regional significance, and they know at the end of the day it means a lot to us as a state. It helps continue the vitality of the marketplace. And in addition to that, those amenities like this, Division I hockey, an arena and event center, there are 54,000 jobs that exist in the greater Mankato marketplace. 54,000. One of the most critical issues to economic development going forward that I know you'll agree with is going to be about the talent competition, the ability to attract and retain talent. If we don't have amenities like this in regional centers throughout our state, then those 54,000 jobs and those couple of thousand employers that provide those jobs are going to find it difficult to continue to bring in the talent that sustains their businesses, keeps them economically viable. And that's just one more reason, yet again, why business is so supportive of a project like this, because it's going to fuel the talent they need 5, 10, 15 years from now to grow 54,000 jobs into 55, 56, 60, 65, 70,000 jobs. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for your attention to this bill. And I want to introduce Gordon Awesome. Gordon Awesome is one of our business owners in the community who's made investments in our city in facilities that predates not just this bill, but some time back, and he's been a long time investor. So I'll let him speak personally to the kind of impact he's seen. Gordon.
Welcome to our committee,
Mr. Awesome. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Would you give your name for the record so 100 years from now, if people in your family want to come here that you were here, they'll be able to do it.
Okay. My name is Gordon Awesome, and I first invested in Mankato, mostly in the downtown, in 1994. And that was the year before the city had committed to building a new hockey arena to house the men's hockey program for MSU. And since then, we have filled and built many new buildings, both myself and my competitors. And the downtown has been transformed from largely vacant to one that has had 40 new businesses move in, 580 new employees, 397% increase in my property taxes, tens of millions of dollars in new retail sales from hospitality businesses, and it's just a very vibrant community that was recently just selected by Mayo Health Systems for a new office location, and that has added to the vitality of the town. So the message here is that the public investment has paid off in Mankato many times over. If you add up the new income taxes, sales taxes, and property taxes, that public investment by the city gave a double-digit return. This is a small request of the state, and the city is already putting up half of the money, and it's to accommodate an expansion of the women's hockey program. This will create much more new investment in downtown and come back just like a blue chip stock investment. It has paid off, and it will pay off to the state in general in increased taxes, increased jobs. So I ask your support.
Thank you very much. Anything else you'd like to? Okay. Any members have any questions? Representative Howells.
Yeah, to whoever would want to answer. I don't think I heard anything about the performing arts improvements for $4.4 million. Could you explain that portion of it?
Well, let me make a general comment, and they may want to add something. But the Mankato Symphony is anticipated to play there, as I understand. But, for instance, Mayo Health Systems located downtown, we have a software tenant that has dozens of high-paid jobs, and they are expanding rapidly. They're owned by Silicon Valley investors. And to attract the talent, you need cultural attractions. And this performing arts component of it, which is largely paid for by the city, not the state, I think, if you analyze this, will add further vitality to the whole community and southern Minnesota.
Mr. Chair, our city manager would like to come up and say a few words, too. But I'll just say broadly, it's not only a performing arts center, it's an auditorium expansion that will help replace the space that has been displaced by the expansion of the hockey arena to accommodate both the men's and women's teams so that we can continue to house the types of conventions that we have in the past. But I'll let the city manager elaborate on that.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to our committee. Mr. Hinges, give your name for the record, please.
Patrick Hinges, H-E-N-T-G-E-S, city manager, city of Mankato. Representative Hall, just to answer that more precisely, there's approximately $4.4 million worth of fixtures, furnishings that will go into the multi-purpose auditorium to adapt it for performing arts activities. We see a trend not only that we have regional significant performing like our Mankato Area Symphony that need this, but we see a trend in the industry that a lot of our ticketed events, smaller concerts, need an auditorium type setting, orchestra shells, things in terms of how the stage is set up. But that can be then very quickly converted over to, for example, a camper show, for example, a business expo. That's the purpose of the addition, to be a very multi-purpose type of addition to look at a variety of markets, not just conventions, not just expos, not just business shows, but also certain amounts of performing arts, ticketed music type events, small performing arts shows.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I missed it or I'm not being clear enough. I probably missed it, but if this $4.4 million is for performing arts, is that part of the total $31 million, or is that separate from that? So am I looking at a capital investment bill that $2.2 million, you know, with the matched up, is going to performing arts, about $3 million is going to the ice arena, and then the rest is going to the convention center?
Mr. Hinges.
Mr. Chair, Representative Powell, the 4.4 is included in the total package. It is predominantly fixtures being able to adapt the building shell to performing arts activities. But it is a part of the overall request. It is going to physical improvements to adapt that building.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to be clear when it gets to capital investment. I mean, we'll ask you more questions there, but you could do this convention center and the ice arena technically then for $4.4 million less than the 31. You wouldn't be able to do the performing arts and have the acoustics, but you would get that part of it done. And then one more part for you. This sales tax that's used for the match, Minsky will not be involved with any portion of money in that, and I would not like to see or ever hear of revenue bonds on the share part where they increase the tuition by $50 a year.
Mr. Chair, Engines. Representative House, the match, the $14.5 million match is totally coming from sales tax. The only part of the university involvement in a revenue stream is to pay for arena lease usage, and that's a part of their ticket revenues that they gain from hockey. So at this point in time, we do not anticipate changing actually our current lease with the university one dime, and essentially they will be leasing the use of the arena the same way they do it now at approximately the same amount of money.
Mr. Representative House, think of it this way. If we don't use this building for this, they'll ask for a new hockey arena at the university.
Or, Mr. Chairman, if we do the capital restoration, we could go down there and have session in there.
There you go. It was close to St. Peter, you know.
That'd be that would help. It'd be shorter, too, because the floor would be pretty cold.
Anybody else have any questions? Seeing none. Representative Briner, you have a question? You want to sum it up?
Well, no, I was just going to wait for the appropriate motion and then thank the committee for their time.
Carol, you want to renew your motion?
I would like to renew my motion that House File 1883 be laid over for possible inclusion in the bonding bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. And we'd be glad to answer any further questions at a later date.
Mm-hmm. Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that we reconsider the minutes because I didn't look at them close enough.
Okay. Reconsider the moment. Very well. We will bring back the minutes of the last meeting.
Of the February 21st meeting.
Meeting, okay. Would you give us
the Yes, there is correction? there is a correction. And again, this is one of the ones that just makes Mr. Mullery, Representative Mullery, really upset. He is mistaken for me quite regularly, and on the committee, the role, you have Representative Mullery here and me not, so I would make the motion that on the minutes are changed to reflect that I was here, and Mr. Mullery, Representative Mullery, is already excused, so I won't put that part in.
Very well. Everyone, hearing the correction, is any all in favor of that correction, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Correction, very well received. Thank you. Now, next we have Representative Hackbarth with House File 1677. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You want to move it?
Did you want to move the bill?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 1677 to be
laid over for possible
inclusion.
Very well. You want to start out, Representative Hackbarth, with a little overview? Or?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for that, Representative Mahoney. This is the bonding request from Capital Investment for a new regional ballpark in Lower Town, St. Paul. And rather than I take up a lot of your time and explaining the bill, we have a number of people here that know a lot more about it than I do, and we'll let them give the pitch and the sale. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have after that.
Okay. Who would like to start out? Mayor, you?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mayor Chris Coleman from the City of St. Paul. We have a short, very short video that I think will help set the tone for the conversation.
Very well.
We have an amazing opportunity right now to build this facility in downtown St. Paul on the site of the old Gillette factory, which is a brownfield site, and really reinvigorate the lower end of downtown St. Paul. It's an amazing opportunity for us.
At the time we started, it was comfortable and it worked well for the Saints, and it was the best that the city had to offer at that time. It's been a good run, and of course, we're 30 years later already.
I know all of the neighbors down here are pretty excited about the fact that they'll be able to watch a ball game just walking outside their front door, which is a terrific amenity.
This is an opportunity to bring 400,000 people a year into downtown St. Paul. They're going to be spending money at local restaurants and local bars in a way that's very challenging at the current location. Money at local restaurants and local bars in a way that's very challenging at the current location.
You can't make it to first. Well, maybe we can, Mr. Chair, maybe while that's fully loading, we could just converse a little bit about it. Again, Mayor Chris Coleman from the City of St. Paul. And I am here joined by Matt Kramer from the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce. I want to tell you there are a lot of facts and figures, and we've talked about these in previous sessions, and a couple things I want to tell. One quick story, and be more than happy to answer any questions relative to why we think that this is critically important that we move forward on this project this year and really take advantage of an opportunity that I may not be there for very much longer. A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to try to bring a business into downtown St. Paul. It was a business that was consolidating from across various parts of the Midwest, various parts of the Twin Cities area. They were looking for a location. They were looking for a location that they could sell to their recruits, people that they were trying to bring from other parts of the country, other parts of the globe, to come and work for their company. That company was Cray Computer. One of the things that I laid out for them was the all of the changes that were happening in downtown St. Paul. The festivals that we had, the bars and restaurants, the light rail line that was about to begin construction. And I looked across downtown and pointed to where we had an opportunity to build a regional ballpark that would host high school tournaments, college ball, Legion ball, as well as the St. Paul Saints. And when I laid out that vision for him, he saw St. Paul as a place that he wanted to do business. He saw St. Paul as a place that he wanted to locate. And since that time, Cray, having made the decision to come in St. Paul, has brought in hundreds of employees and continues to expand, all because we laid out a vision of a vital, thriving city in downtown area that he felt was going to be instrumental in helping him recruit top talent from across the country to come and work for his firm. So we talk about this as a jobs opportunity. Clearly there are job opportunities in the construction of the stadium. Clearly there are job opportunities once the regional ballpark is completed for employees to be there, but we also understand this as a jobs measure to continue to be able to recruit companies that want to come into downtown St. Paul and be a part of a very vibrant, thriving economy. We think that this is a critical piece. It's important to the business community, and with that I'd like to turn it over to Matt Kramer for a few comments.
Welcome to the committee that you're very familiar with, I think.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. As the mayor noted, the business community, the St. Paul Area Chamber, the state's largest chamber, met with Ramsey County, the City of St. Paul, the Public School District, and all of our partners across the East Metro and selected this project as our number one bonding priority. The St. Paul business community is committed to a Lower Town Regional Ballpark, not only for the economic development it'll bring, but for the optimal land use. We're in a situation today where the former Gillette facility as a brownfield is never going to be developed into housing. It's never going to be developed into something that, from a residential perspective, is going to add value to downtown St. Paul. But here we have Midway Stadium, 3 or 4 miles away, that's in an industrial park. And part of the opportunity here is to develop a Lower Town Regional Ballpark that, as the mayor noted, brings that vitality and energy to downtown St. Paul. And when the ballpark is done, conduct a land swap, and all of a sudden the old Midway Stadium is torn down and we turn that into job-producing, tax-producing land up in an industrial park. Mr. Chairman, members, this is a huge priority for the business community, and we're thankful for your interest and support.
You will.
With that, I'll turn it over on the amateur sports side.
Welcome to our committee. Give your name for the record, please.
Billy Peterson. I'm extremely excited to be here. Was born in 1940, so I'm excited to be anywhere. I like to talk about baseball in terms of age. 10 to 19 is the first inning. 20, 29 is the second inning, and so on and so forth. I am in my seventh inning. Amateur ball plays 7 innings, so I'm in the last inning. I'm in the top of the seventh inning. In the first inning, I played at Lexington Ballpark. We had a great relationship with Parks and Recreation. We played all our championship games there, and the senior men and everybody got to play when the Saints were gone. And this was the Saints that were involved with the American Association. They decided to move and get a new ballpark, which is what we call the old Midway, because we now have an old Midway, but this was the old Midway on the east side of Snelling Avenue. I coached, played, umpired at that facility. Now we have a new facility across the street. Well, it was newer than the old Midway. And I did some coaching and some umpiring at that facility. We have had some tremendous people have honed their skills at these three facilities. We got 4 or 5 in the major leagues right now. We have a couple of Hall of Famers, Winfield and Molitor. We have 3 major league umpires right now. We have Timmy Cheetah, Mark Wagner, and Jeff Nelson. All of these people have had the opportunities to hone their skills on these great ball fields. But that's not who I'm here to represent today. It's the names you don't know, the thousands and thousands of not only baseball players, but we play football out there for our youth programs in St. Paul. Midway, the old Lexington was not a regional ballpark. It was only for St. Paul. There was no high school tournaments. There was no big tournaments around where people from around the state would come. These other ballparks are regional ballparks. I won an American Legion State tournament there as a coach at the old Midway when I had the Winfield brothers. So what we're hoping for is that this new era of ball player. Oh, one other point I'd like to make. I was with Parks and Recreation for 36 years. During the time when we built the Midway Stadium that is across the road on the west side of Snelling Avenue, we built it for amateur baseball. We built it for Parks and Recreation. We did not build it for professional sports because we did no longer have the St. Paul Saints. They were gone. So we built it for an amateur group, which meant you didn't need locker rooms because the amateurs, they come dressed and they go home dressed. They don't take showers. We didn't need any place for our umpires because umpires dress out of the back of their car. We didn't need but one toilet for men and one toilet for women because you got very few spectators. That's the ballpark that we built. We didn't build it for a professional arena. The ballpark, and I won't go into any more than what everybody has already said, the ballpark is just not satisfactory anymore for the professional level or even for the amateur level. So everybody that comes before you has some type of agenda. I have two agendas. One is representing thousands and thousands of kids and adults that have played at Midway Stadium, and the thousands and thousands of new era ball players that we hope will be able to come and play at the new stadium in St. Paul. And, of course, I have a personal agenda. Being in the top of the seventh inning, 71 years old, I want to have the visitors stay ahead so I get to be in the bottom of the seventh. Bottom of the seventh, I want Stevie Winfield, who played for me, to be on second base, and I want Jimmy Rail to be up to bat. I want Stevie Winfield on second because he's going to score on any kind of base hit, fastest kid I ever had. I want Jim Rail because he can't hit the ball out of the park. He's a clutch man. He'll hit a single. If he hits the ball out of the ballpark, game's over. I don't get to go into my next era. So my hope for St. Paul, my hope, and I hope that God's listening and the legislature's listening, that we can have a new ballpark so that for my own self personally, I can have an eighth inning, an extra inning, and I can get back out there. I'm still coaching, and I hope to be coaching at that new ballpark, and I hope to be coaching into my eighth and ninth decades. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Representative Howe.
Are we allowed comments, Mr. Chairman?
You certainly are.
Well, I'm in the top of the sixth inning. I played at Parade Stadium. Had fun. And I even played into up through adulthood to about the year 45. And then when I ran out for a ball deep in center field, I saw two of them. I thought it was time to quit. But I've never played in the outfield on a field as bad as what we have right now. There, I looked at it. I think it was last spring, Mayor, when we were there. It's not pretty. We need something different. And I know a lot of folks say we don't want to give money to the billionaire football team owners or baseball team owners and the millionaire players. This is not what this stadium is. And also, what people complain about, we're giving money for baseball fields, even though it's not top line professional, but it's still a city ballpark, or we do a high school hockey rink and they frown on that, or a state paved trail. it's not just government's job to fund the things that are necessary, but it's also helpful if we enhance the communities and make life more pleasant for the people that we help in other ways. So government, I think, has roles beyond just making the stoplights work and having curb and gutter, but also having something for the people to do. The public or the private sector can't do everything. And I think you have a wonderful project, and I'm not going to say I thoroughly support it, but you got 99% of me.
Representative Stensrud and then Representative Mahoney.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the testifiers, I just need a better appreciation for like the total scope or cost of the project, and you're asking for $27 million, and then there's some matching funds, and you have some private donors. I'm wondering how much have they put up, and where's the other money coming from, and what are those totals?
Mayor Coleman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Stensrud, we have not completed the final financials of how the city's obligation, the other match up to the $27 million would be finally put together. But there are a couple of critical sources that I think really help us begin to fill out the pieces of the puzzle. First of all, Matt Kramer mentioned that there's an opportunity for a land swap that would be considered part of the revenues that would be going towards this, the city match, because that land that could be redeveloped, the old Midway Stadium site, we believe is worth at least $2 or $3 million. We think that that's a critical piece. There will be a contribution from the St. Paul Saints that will be critical to paying off that $27 million portion of it. And there are other pieces that we're looking at that we, we are very confident that the local match, the city's match, will be able to be adequately met. And I think that that's one of the critical points, is that it does make this a very typical bonding project where there is a 50% local match to the project. You asked about the cost of it. The initial estimates were a little short of $50 million, but now it's about $54 million is the total. We don't have a final project number in place, but we will. We are going to keep it underneath that $54 million level.
Okay. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the testifiers may or may not know this. I'm trying to figure out. Last year when this bill was presented, or the year before, they had a number of how many amateur athletes would probably be coming through there and playing ball there. Do you have that at hand, or is anyone that you brought with today? Because it was somewhere in the area of thousands of kids going to be playing in the ballpark.
We have with us a document on what cities and teams from those cities have played at the facility around the state.
Would that be this one with the 4th District, American Legion, Hamlin University? On the back.
On the back.
Oh. There's a good number.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, this doesn't give you a number of actual athletes that would be participating, but to give you somewhat of a scope, we believe there would be an opportunity for 180 events in that facility a year. Only 50 of those dates would be for the St. Paul Saints. The rest of them would be specifically for high school, college, Legion ball, senior ball, those types of events involving amateur athletics, young people, and those that are going into their sixth inning. So Representative Howells, if you want to get your vision corrected, you'd probably be welcome to come back out.
Did you point at me when you said senior ball?
I
represent that remark.
I'm not in the late innings, but now I would get credit for a complete game if there was if it got rained out. So,
Mr. Chair,
Representative Mahoney.
One last question for those of you who have been to a Saints game. You might find some humor in this, maybe not. And this might be of the Saints. Is there going to be a pin for the mascot? The mascot is a pink pig, and it's an absolute delight. I've been to a good number of these games, and they are a lot of fun, and they draw a pretty good crowd. I have also tried to use the restrooms there and missed a full inning or two waiting in line. So a place for the ball players to change and to clean up, refs to take care of it, and for the convenience of the ticket holders, this is all a great idea. And the idea of doing that land swap out there at the Midway area, we've got a couple of good companies out there that I'm sure are looking for areas to expand. So I hope everyone can support this, and I'm sure the mayor and the business community will figure out the 20-some-odd million-dollar match.
Representative Mahoney, does that pig mascot, does that have anything to do with the fact that St. Paul was called Pigs Eye at one time?
Representative, that would be correct.
That's good to know.
You know, and I just want everyone to know that Pigs Eye was a Frenchman, and he was the one who laid out the streets of St. Paul, not the Irish.
Any other questions from the members? Seeing none, Representative Mahoney renews his motion to have House File 1677 laid over for possible inclusion in the bonding bill. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
And with that, we have any business? Seeing no other business, we will adjourn.